Hello, everyone, and welcome to Creative Psychopaths, a horror movie podcast and the world's premier kitchen for horror sandwiches. What are horror sandwiches, I hear you ask? Well, it's a lovely movie filling surrounded by two slices of chatty goodness. My name's Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew. Hello.
Hello.
How are you this week? Fighting fit?
No, not at all.
Oh.
I mean, as we stand right now, I'm stifling a cough.
Okay.
As soon as it's not my turn to speak, I'll be muting myself and having a good old cough.
You need to take some Linctus. I don't really know what that is, but I heard Derek and Clive talk about it once. So yeah, do that.
I won't go into too much detail with it though, because
nobody
wants to hear that at all.
You can tell us if it's dry or phlegmy or, you know, what colour that... You say whatever you like about it. We're a horror movie podcast. Bodily fluids are our thing. If it's...
It started dry, but you could feel it in the back of your throat. And then I think we're moving through now. I imagine that over the next couple of days, the cough will be history.
Lovely. Oh.
Just in time for the weekend for a change. Normally you get ill when you can't appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't hold too much stock in it. You never know. Because it's our birth this month, we have joining us all the way from the Movie Jewel podcast. He's flown in on some sort of contraption, one of those bicycle planes from years ago. It's Peter. Hello.
Hello there. How are we doing?
Oh, lovely, lovely. We're back again for another battling podcast. I don't know. Are we battling? Not really. But it feels good to say, and it feels nice to know there might be a war in the
ready to throw some clotheslines and slam some films,
side suplexes, and all that good stuff. Yeah.
I was going to say that this month has the feeling of a game of Monopoly just before it goes wrong. But you were much cleverer and tied it into the today's film.
Yeah. I mean, in both cases, tables definitely get thrown. So I think, you're doing all right between the two of you. So a couple of things before we get into it. Number one, Neve Campbell's coming back. As far as we know, Neve Campbell's coming back for Scream 7, and it is being directed by Kevin Williamson, who wrote the original movie. So that's interesting and pleasing news. Sort of vaguely do hope, though, that this wraps it up.
We'll get the eggshells out first because we need something to walk on. Just to discuss how this has all come about. Yeah, it's a very troubling way that the right result has come about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think what Melissa Barrera has been treated quite badly in her own way. And Neve Campbell was treated very, very badly in the last one in a very different way, and it feels to me as if this just should not be a film, full stop, because the whole production of it is just been a mess, and everything's come around, and I hope with bringing Neve Campbell and saying the director back, that we find a thread, to bring it back and to have people who really care about it working on it.
Yeah.
Because at the minute, it just feels like it's being put on the slate and they're just going to do it no matter what, because they know it'll make money.
Yeah. You're not wrong in anything that you said, and... I must admit, I forgot about the other bit of controversy, which is a bit bad on me, because I just sort of immediately saw the positives and thought, oh, they've managed to turn it around with Neve Campbell. But of course, as you say, it was already been mired in other controversy, so But I think
that,
yeah, and of course, General Ortega's not going to be there either because she's got scheduling conflicts was the official line. There was also mention of leaving in solidarity with Barrera, but who's to know what the truth is there?
I'm sure she came out and said that.
I'm sure we wouldn't have had Neve Campbell in this if had those two not fled the film, basically, or been removed from the film. I don't think we'd have had Neve Campbell. I think this is really them just sort of clutching at straws. And not that it's a bad thing, but I think it's just a bit of an icky way to have Neve Campbell back into the franchise, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to hope that Neve Campbell has really, you know, grabbed them by the short and curlies and milked them for all they're worth. Mm-hmm. But she needs to make up for...
Absolutely.
Well, she should be paid what she should have been paid for Scream 6 too. You know, she should double that pay slip.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully that's worked out for her. But yeah, well, no doubt we'll watch it and review it and, you know, hopefully it'll finally bring Stu back for some reason. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is I've moved on from my ChatGPT film, which was Touch of Evil, Orson Welles. It was quite good, actually, in the end. I don't think film noir is actually quite my jam. I'm not sure whether I'll be revisiting it. But anyway, after a little discussion with ChatGPT, it has suggested to me The Fall, which is some sort of, I don't know if it's a kid's film, it's a fantasy film anyway. Something to do with, I don't really know. Let me figure out where it was from. The Fall, I think it was 2016, maybe. 20. Here we go. Nope. Maybe it wasn't The Fall. Don't worry, we'll get there. I really feel like I've got to tell you what it is now.
There was the Simply Fall from last year or the year before. About those climbers who get stuck on the big tall thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, it is definitely called The Fall from 2008, sorry. And it says, a little blessing in disguise. In a hospital on the outskirts of 1920s Los Angeles, an injured stuntman begins to tell a fellow patient a fantastical story about five mythical heroes set off in an exotic, far-off land.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. And it is directed by Tarsem Singh, who also did The Cell.
Interesting.
Yes, so I must admit that is one of the things I've been enjoying about the ChatGPT. It really does send me in directions I wasn't expecting. Yeah, there you go. So, without further ado, let's start making this sandwich and start with a first slice. So we're just going to come up with a sort of very quick movie fights, really. So we'll all have to choose between two movies that the other one chooses. Don't worry, that'll make really like more sense once we go into it. And
we're stealing Peter's idea here again, basically. But we're going to take not just the format to Peter's podcast. Not just the format to the bonus quick draw episodes, but we're going to just take that even further and have even less discussion. because I think probably one thing we're going to be talking about films that we've mentioned God knows how many times because they come up all the time. And the other thing is that sometimes you can think of your own reasons as to why we've come to the decisions that that we will come to. Some of them will be tough. Some of them will be less tough. But, yeah, I think we might have some interesting choices come up.
I like your style. Well, why don't you go? Why don't you kick us off then?
Right. Well, I'm going to also just put in a ground rule, because it also might come up that we've mentioned films that we haven't seen, depending on eras, what have you. So, what do we want to do for that? Are we just going to blag it and pretend? Because nobody's going to know.
Yeah.
Or do we do it based on which one you'd want to watch? Or if you've only seen one of them, that's the one you've seen?
We'll see how we go. We'll see how that goes. If you haven't seen it, then you can't really choose it, I suppose.
Well, I will go first, and then I'll go with a nice, gentle one.
Okay.
So, Evil Dead 2013 or Evil Dead Rise?
And what are we choosing? What to keep?
Which one are you going to keep, yeah?
Evil Dead Rise, for me.
2013.
Yeah.
You have to choose one.
I'm going to say Evil Dead Rise as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I much preferred that one. Are we having...
That's too much discussion.
Oh, is it? No.
Are we going to do this again next week and just not give any answers so it devolves to that much?
Yeah, next week it's just going to be pure philosophy and a thought experiment only.
Oh, I think I might be busy for the thought experiment.
Just humming and tutting.
I do like tutting. It's quite a good British pastime, that, isn't it? The old tut.
Can't be a good tut.
Lovely. Well, I'll go in then. So Friday the 13th or Halloween?
Halloween.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Friday the 13th for me too.
Okay. Alien or Aliens?
Alien.
You both said the same time then.
Yeah, Alien, yeah.
Did we say the same? Or?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I'd go Alien as well.
Good for us.
Yeah. We're not allowed to discuss it at all. Because I like Aliens.
All right. Okay, I'll go for more recent and food-based. Fresh or The Menu?
The Menu.
Fresh.
Fresh, I think.
Oof.
Oh.
Tough. It's tougher than I first thought. I should have thought about it more. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for definitive quick answers.
Mm.
Of which I'm not providing either at the minute.
No. Let's see. I know what you did last summer, or The Faculty.
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 All day long.
Yeah, faculty for me too. Oh, this is good.
Okay.
Oh!
The Exorcist or The Omen?
Exorcist.
Exorcist.
The Exorcist. It's the right answer.
X or Pearl?
Pearl.
Pearl.
Yeah, Pearl.
Oh, Blair Witch or Paranormal Activity?
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch.
Paranormal Activity for me.
Oh. Controversial. Terminator or Terminator 2?
Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator.
Yeah, I think I'd say Terminator as well.
Yeah.
Misery or Carrie?
Carrie.
I'm saying Misery, I think.
Oh, really? I choose misery.
It's just like my life, isn't it?
let's see. I can't remember the name of the films. We go on to the next person. Peter, you go again, and I'll try to remember.
Godzilla or King Kong?
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go Godzilla.
Okay, the Witch or the Lighthouse?
The Witch.
I haven't seen the Lighthouse. Witch.
I'm saying the Lighthouse.
Right, yeah. Yeah. The Conjuring or Sinister?
Sinister.
The Conjuring, I think.
Yeah, The Conjuring.
Oh, this is an edit pause now.
Yeah.
No edit pauses.
Oh, God. We just talked about that last time. Friday the 13th remake or Nightmare on Elm Street remake?
Because neither's not an option, is it?
Nope.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think I'm going to go Nightmare on Elm Street too.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street for me as well.
Yeah. I'm not.
Okay. Nosferatu or The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari?
Nosferatu.
I'll assume Nosferatu.
Nosferatu for me as well. Just.
I'm using our own back catalogue now, so Get Out or Soft and Quiet?
Get Out.
Get Out.
You Get Out. Yeah, Get Out.
Last House on the Left or I Spit on Your Grave?
Last House on the Left.
I Spit on Your Grave.
I think I'd go Last House on the Left.
Fair enough.
I think we might have exhausted this now. I think I'm struggling.
Well, I've got Midsummer or Hereditary.
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 Oh, I think I'm going to go Midsummer, you know.
Oh, I've got one more.
Yeah.
A Serbian film or Megan is Missing.
Well, Megan is Missing.
Yeah, same, I think.
I'd much rather not watch a Serbian film again. So, yeah, Megan is Missing, yeah.
Yeah. Although we'll preface that last answer, we don't watch either. If anyone's listening to this, don't watch either of those. Just leave them alone.
Yeah.
Don't touch them. Just be happy. Just leave them alone. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you're right. I think with the, I mean, there must be about a million billion ones.
We could just pick random ones like Halloween Kills against Rosemary's Baby, but doesn't really feel like it's worthwhile after a point, is it?
That's not really even a question, that one, I don't think.
Could you tell that I was just looking at my letterbox page and then pick two films that I could see on it?
What about Creep or Creep 2?
Creep.
Oh. Yeah, Creep, I think, just.
You know what? I think I like Creep 2 a little bit more. Yeah, Creep 2. Why not? Why not indeed?
I think we're just delaying the inevitable. We're going to have to talk about this film, you know.
Well, are you sure?
Let's do it. Let's get into this filling.
Right, okay. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that speedy Gonzales-style way of saying things. So we're going to get into this week's movie, which we've been threatening to do for weeks on end. And it's Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, or just Wrestlers versus Zombies. And Matthew's going to talk to you about it.
Go. Yeah. So it's a nice, easy one. 2014. And it is directed by Cody Knotts, who also stars in the film as himself, basically. Then for the cast, we have Rowdy Roddy Piper as himself, Hacksaw Jim Duggan as himself, Matt Hardy as himself, the franchise Shane Douglas as himself, Kurt Angle as himself, and Adrienne Fisher as Sarah Schumann. There's a few other people around, but well, actually, some of them actually do stuff, but most of them are monster fodder or zombie fodder. And the plot is just the title of the film, isn't it? Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. They get together because the franchise, Shane Douglas, accidentally kills a wrestler in the ring, or does he?
Who knows?
The theme of the film. And the wrestler's brother commits a ritual sacrifice, which gives him the power over the undead. And he uses this power to seek revenge against the franchise Shane Douglas.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, there you go. That was it. That was Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. What else you got?
Right. So this is going to be a struggle for me because, like, when we do these films, I normally write down a few points and the things I'd like to talk about, and I get ideas as to things I want to say. Whereas this time, I have so many things that I could say that are bad about this film. They're like the Three Stooges trying to get out of a door. And I'm just drawing a blank because there's just such a huge wealth of choice of terrible things to say.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, I think we can probably all agree right now it was probably the worst of the three films we've watched. Yep. I don't know how you feel about that one, Matthew.
It is. I mean, it's uniquely awful. But I kind of loved it.
God.
To a point, there is a point of basically the whole third act where it stops being bad in the right kind of way and just gets bad.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But yeah, this is, I mean, I think because so much of it is exactly what you expect, it kind of gives you a bit of scope to have some fun.
I don't know, because you see, I didn't expect this to be good by any stretch, but I didn't expect it to take itself as seriously as it does. There is too much of a convoluted story to this film when it should have just been nice and simple, tongue-in-cheek horror comedy. And it's not. It just tries to be too much horror and not enough comedy. There's some really nice little moments in it, some nice nods to the wrestling world, but I just couldn't get what they were trying to do.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you slightly there, because I think what you've said is more or less right, but it's not that they were trying to, you know, they should have been funny, but they were trying to be too horror. It's that they should have been more horror, but they were trying to be too drama. Yeah. They were trying to put these moments of, you know, pathos in and,
oh, God, yeah.
You know, these big exclamation points as to, you know, we've all got to save our lives and the future of humanity is at stake and all this shite. And like, not for a start, nobody's buying this cast as being able to pull it off. You know, I genuinely think that the reason the focus switches to Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know, for that last act is because they realize while making it that he's the only one who can act.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even then, it, you know, it's hardly Rowdy from They Live. It's, or It's Always Sunny. It's give me the paycheck so I can get out of here, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
You know, I mean, I thought, to be fair, I did think, you know, from a wrestling point of view, they essentially, Shane Douglas, they gave him a heel turn midway, which I thought was, I don't know if they intentionally did that, but, you know, what was interesting to see. And, you know, this movie dragged like hell to me.
Mm.
It's an hour and a half long, and I feel like I've been watching it all day. I mean, partly because I struggled to watch it a little bit, but I just feel like I've been, like, I had the vaguest understanding what was going on, because that's all right. But I couldn't have told you, apart from, you know, the wrestlers that I knew, I couldn't have told you who else they were, what else was going on. There's one girl in it who's like essentially the final girl. I have no idea who she was. I don't know who she was. I couldn't tell you the character's name. At points, they suggest that she's got something more to do, but I don't know what that is. The bits in this that are fun to watch are the bits where it's like pro wrestlers versus zombies.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Kurt Angle sequence.
Where Kurt Angle does an ankle lock on a zombie and then the leg falls off and he hits another zombie with a leg. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's like, ah, this is what I signed up for. Yeah, because I texted you lads a couple of times today, and that was the point where I was like, oh, it's kicking off now. And then after that, there's a lot of pointless running. I don't know who's in what group. They get split up. But as I say, I don't know who some people are. You know.
Did you notice as well? I don't know whether I was the only person to notice it, but did you notice that everybody's costumes were changing through the film?
While we're on costumes, one thing I did notice is that, you know, when the barricading the door in that one scene, and there's the one guy in the gold trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were ripped at the arse crack, weren't they? I would say go watch it again to have a look, but don't put yourself through that. But I'm 95% sure that they were ripped and you could see the bottom of his arse crack.
Right, possibly. Well, they probably weren't ripped in the scene that came after or before.
Yeah.
He maybe just ripped them for that scene and the continuity just went out the window. No, but literally, Hacksaw Jim Duggan literally has shorts on through the first part of his appearance. And then he's got a vest on.
A vest on, hasn't he? I tell you what, though.
Roddy Piper starts off with a hot rod shirt, and then when he's on the bus, he ain't got it on.
I think he's got a plain white shirt on as well at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's full of really janky dialogue as well. Like, you're watching it thinking, come on, Piper, you can act better than this. You know, even Rowdy Piper was, well, like you said, he was phoning it in a bit, really.
But to give credit to the wrestlers who can't act, though, as well. Like, they were phoning it in, too.
Yeah, but I think Hacksaw Jim Duggan was my favourite bit.
He was the scene where he became a zombie. That was remarkably sad.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he was probably the most convincing zombie in the film as well.
Yeah, well, the zombies in this weren't good, were they?
Yellow zombies.
By zombies, they just mean people in yellow paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simpsons characters.
And the blood looked like jam.
It looked like as the Halloween blood.
I'm not even sure it looked as good as that. Yeah. At one point, this woman goes, "There's blood on the stage," and the guy goes, "Oh, it's corn syrup." And it's like, "Oh yeah, that looks like blood." But then for the rest of it, it looks like jam. At one point, there's blood on a window, and it looks like someone squeezed a jam donut. I mean, to a degree, it is laughable. You know, like there were bits in it that were hilarious. Like to me, like. At one point, the promoter's taking money off someone and they play it off like it's a shit ton of money. There's about $2,000 there, if that. And for your $2,000, you can get Shane Douglas, Roddy Piper. You can even get Kurt Angle to show up, you know.
It's probably not too far from the truth, though, sadly, at that point.
I don't. But they play it off as like, man... For this kind of money, you can get it.
You can't believe he actually has to say, "Is this legit?" Doesn't it?
Yeah. Then later
in the argument, and where he complains to the promoter that the checks are bouncing, like Vince McMahon. Is that Vince McMahon has done a lot of really terrible things, but I don't think he's ever been accused of not paying.
No.
If anything, he's been accused of paying people too much for the wrong things.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And when that promoter's reeling off the names of people that he can get for this one off show, this special show as well, he mentions a porn star who wants to go legit as well.
Is she there?
I think it was a he, wasn't it? Maybe that's Ass Crack Guy.
Well, maybe it is.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, it adds up.
I tell you who else is awful in this. Matt Hardy. What the hell?
Matt Horney. Never mind, Matt Hardy. Jeez.
Well, I think he had a bit of a Hardy.
Yeah.
But Matt Hardy could do a decent character. And I mean, it does sort of show the difference between cutting a promo and acting. I've seen him, you know, especially when he did Broken Matt. He was amazing in that. And they did some fantastic... behind the scenes things, and yet in this, he wasn't even convincing as Matt Hardy. He wasn't even playing himself. And what the hell is
he convincingly played a half a Matt Hardy because they couldn't afford to show half a Matt Hardy, so just cleverly hid him behind a wall.
See, I do have a question with the actors because. You know, unfortunately, this is too true with wrestlers, but I was looking at them and going, which ones were in their substance abuse phase here? and I think Matt Hardy might have been one of the ones to fall into that category.
Quite possibly, because he's buggered in this. Like, as I say, he's not even playing himself convincingly. There was the one wrestler I didn't really know who quite enjoyed the sort of cruiserweight type guy. You know,
the fellow with the dreadlocks?
Yeah, he was pretty good, him. I quite liked his bit.
Yeah, he was clearly the best amateur wrestler in the area, wasn't he? You could tell he was genuinely happy to be there.
Happy to be here. But yeah, it was mostly awful, though. I really struggled to get through it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there is a bit of fun to be had there, but I think they just tried to do too much almost. I think you've got the Shane Douglas sort of story that's not really needed because you've got these two sort of heels. You've got him and I can't remember the character's name, but the guy with the Jaguar on his Kane, who's got possibly the worst Scottish accent.
I thought he was doing Irish.
Yeah,
was it Irish? Well, either way, it was terrible.
Either way, it was neither of them. But
but you didn't need. I think you just needed one or the other. You know, if he or Piper had have you know accidentally killed his brother in the ring, you didn't need this whole storyline of him. because we follow, you know, for the first quarter of the film, we follow Shane Douglas as if he's meant to be our guy, and his family gets killed, and then everything shifts to Pipe as soon as he's on, and you get this sort of mini heel turn from Shane Douglas when, you know, it just complicated everything when it could have been a lot more straightforward and a lot easier to watch. And that would have, I think, would have helped to make it a little bit more fun. But it just tries to do too much, whether that's just because they had to get all these different sort of people in, you know. I get the feeling that this, the guy directed it, is some kind of a promoter in real life, maybe, and this was a bit of a passion project, and he wanted to sort of get as many people in as possible, and obviously get the well-known wrestlers in as well to sort of bolster it. But
yeah,
it just didn't need it.
This felt a lot to me as if it was, you know, it was when you were young and you were playing with your toys, and you could make something up as wacky as Wrestlers versus Zombies. And you had the toys, you had the wrestlers ready to go, you had some, you know, biker mice from Mars who you were substituting in for your zombies.
Yeah.
And you were making them fight, but then the person you're playing with just keeps adding stuff to it. And they spoil the idea of what you had and what you were having fun playing with.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I enjoyed it. You know, I like the fact that the wrestlers were fighting the zombies with wrestling moves. That made sense. It was fun. But then that just sort of gets forgotten a bit later on. Like Matthew said, you know, toward in the final act, it just doesn't... It. And then you get the moments like Piper using the coconut, which is great. It's probably the best moment in the film, because it's, you know, it's reverential to the wrestling industry and to Piper's history.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there's little bits like missed opportunities. I mean, there's this really dodgy part where Shane Douglas is watching the security camera, and it's obviously just the film with a green filter on it to make it look like a security camera. But he's not even stood watching it from the side, like in proper wrestling.
Yeah,
he's watching it face on. If, you know, there's little bits that you could have done that would be in jokes to people who, you know, because is anybody who's not a wrestling fan going to watch this film? Probably not. So if you've got, you know, those little, more of those little nods is what it needed, and it just doesn't have them. Really disappointing.
Well, I've just had a look based on what you said about Cody Knotts, who wrote and directed this, and starred as the booker, the guy who can't quite believe that around $2,000 is actually possible. And he may do this wrestling stuff outside of films, but he has written and directed quite a few. And in this film, he does the whole sexually abusive, lechy thing in that what we think is a job interview, but I'm not entirely sure. And he's also written and starred in a couple of films where his last two roles were Waffen SS soldier and simply racist soldier. So I'm thinking, do we have to be worried about this guy?
Quite possibly.
I'm not sure.
What's...
Were they all
pretty
trauma?
Awful wish fulfillment?
Were they all trauma films? Because they're not particularly well known for their let's see.
I
political
I
correctness.
They
that's
what certainly I'm... are.
Yeah. No, they're not known for their political correctness, the old trauma fellas. Well, I lost my train of thought completely there. My trauma of thought. bad a word, that's not a thing. I don't really know what else to say about it. I mean,
Yeah, I would say that. Comment on the soundtrack.
Oh yes. It was because pretty kick-ass.
It is the most amount of music that sounds like Fozzy without being Fozzy I've ever heard. and that is, yeah, that is not a compliment whatsoever.
It was pretty consistent. Consistent, that's not the word. It was just full on, I thought, the soundtrack.
I didn't mind it because some of it was really cheesy. There was a bit with Rowdy Piper or maybe Shane Douglas where the song's almost singing what he's doing. He's running up a hill.
Rise, Roddy, rise when he has to have his hero moment as well.
Yeah. it's just such a weird film.
And Shane Douglas gets the Jabba the Hutt death as well.
Yeah, he does.
Drool and everything.
Yeah, with drool and everything. And Salacious Crumb was there too, I think. maybe not. Such a weird. Oh, the other thing as well I thought was strange is that all the wrestlers who got killed by zombies that we clearly get seen torn apart show up later as zombies without any damage to them, which I thought was fun.
I did like Kurt Angle's little scratch on his head with the flap of skin. That was probably the best makeup in the film.
Yeah. Well, he was all right, Kurt Angle.
Big gold medals in it.
Yeah. It did seem like he'd rocked up and gone, look, I've got 2 hours.
He wasn't. I don't think he was even at the same set as everybody else, was he?
Maybe not. Well, he was in the ring, wasn't he? So he must have been.
Well, no, but when he first gets there, this old fashioned prison, brick walls and everything. But then he comes in the side door that looks like some apartment.
It's all glass and
yeah. Oh yeah, it
looks like it's a shopping centre.
Yeah.
There's some random Civil War zombies as well at the end.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, he needed more power, and he was just granted it for reasons.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want power, you have to eat the heart of a large-breasted woman. At least we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the heart, and then they don't have a heart wound afterwards. Yeah. Oh, and hang on a second. Was there another guy? There was you're taking his power, but was there a guy inside the guy? Was he getting his power from a different guy? Wasn't that
meant to be his dead brother? I don't know. I couldn't figure that out. Or if it meant to be some kind of a demon that he'd made a deal with, or I don't know, bloody...
It didn't make any sense.
Bison Tonko, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose it's not worth thinking about, is it? Tyson Tonk.
That could be the motto for this entire film.
It's not worth thinking about.
It's not worth thinking about.
Yeah,
because I am 90% sure that we have put more thought into this film than anyone involved in the making of it.
To be honest, I wasn't expecting us to get much of a discussion, so I quite enjoyed what we've done.
You know, I'm flabbergasted, frankly, that we've done three of these versus films now. And Alien versus Predator was the best one. How is that possible? How have we found like two films that bad that I feel like I should go to Paul W.S. Anderson and apologize to him for hating his film?
Oh, I don't know. I quite like Dracula versus Frankenstein. At least it made me laugh.
Yeah.
That was more
what this film should have been, really. It should have been much more like Dracula versus Frankenstein. But
I think it's like the opposite thing, though. I think Dracula versus Frankenstein was trying to make a serious horror film and ended up making a hilarious thing, whereas this one was, I don't know what it was trying to do.
I think he was trying to make a horror with a strong dramatic current.
Yeah.
And it failed at both.
Director needs a strong dramatic current.
Yeah.
I mean, this director needs his hard drive checking if you're looking through his past roles.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Yeah.
Going to a few of them soft and quiet means by the looks of it. Sorry, I don't want to accuse him of that. That's too far.
Yeah, you've gone too far.
He's the one playing Nazis, all right?
I don't think playing Nazis makes you a Nazi, does it?
But when you ride the film, you need to ask that question.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we better not accuse this guy of anything. I'm sure he's a lovely chap.
No, but we will accuse him of making a god-awful film.
Yes, yeah. So, shit's all round, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, big ones.
Yeah, it's a big shit. It's the shittest shit.
If we were Dave Meltzer, we'd say -5 stars.
Yeah. I enjoyed talking to you two more than I enjoyed watching it, that's for sure. Well, there you go then. We've done it. We've done a lovely, lovely filling, delicious wrestlers and lovely yellow zombies. So now all we need to do is get into the last slice of bread. But before we do that, we'd like to ask you to join our little cheeky social media. Cheeky social media? So that's cheeky. Right. Yeah. You can go on the Facebook group where sometimes we post what film we watched. I didn't post this one because I assumed nobody watched it. It took us long enough to try and find a bloody thing. Instagram, of course, Creative Psychopaths Pod. I was doing good stuff, and now I'm not because I'm rubbish. But I will. I will. If you follow me, I will. Also, you can, whatever podcast app you listen to, please drop us a little 5-star review because it really helps people find us. And yeah. Hey, we were like 60 something in the Denmark charts the other week, you know. How do you feel about that? Ooh. That's all right, isn't it? 60. I don't know why anyone in Denmark's listening to us. But thank you, Denmark.
I like Denmark. It's really good when I went there.
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe they saw you when they were there and thought, ah, that lad looks like he's got a podcast.
The country of Lego, I owe them a great debt.
Yeah, well, we're paying it back slowly by giving them quality content. Or something. Right, well, there you go. I don't know what I said, but I said it. So, let's get into the final slice of bread. Now, for those of you out there, this is going to be a slightly self-indulgent slice of bread for us because we're all wrestling fans. So we're going to talk about wrestling. We're not going to talk about horror movies. We should, and we're not. So if you don't like that, now's the time to drop out, I reckon. But if you do, listen. I think that's acceptable, isn't it?
Well, this could be a very, if anybody's thinking of getting into pro wrestling or, you know, fancies dipping their toe, then this could be quite a good introduction for them.
Could be, couldn't it? Or it could be.
I'll also use this opportunity to get a plug in because a good friend of mine has a brother who runs Outcast Pro Wrestling on the Isle of Wight. Mm-hmm. I will not reveal his shoot name, but the wrestler in question is Jackson Arrow, and he's bloody fantastic. So I will plug our boy Jackson and everyone who is interested in wrestling, get on the socials and check it out. And hey, maybe come into a town near you.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a wrestler. That's good, isn't it? His name's Tom Latimer. I used to work with him. And now he wrestles for the NWA.
He's good.
Not the band. He did wrestle for TNA. In fact, he started in WWE. And then TNA and now NWA. So, yeah, there you go.
He probably knows that guy from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Maybe. I don't know.
I touched a wrestler once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was he
Grandmaster Sexay?
Really? Was he sufficiently sweaty or?
He was incredibly sweaty, yes. I did recoil when I sort of patted him on the back and I was like, ew. Yeah.
You sweaty, sweaty man. How dare you be related to Jerry the King Lawler?
Disgusting.
Absolutely awful. Forget it. We're out.
I remember. I have a couple of memories with wrestlers at Download Festival.
Oh yes, so where NXT used to go.
Yeah, they used to run it. So once bumped into William Regal.
Wow.
He was a lovely, lovely bloke. He had, you know, plenty of time for us when he certainly didn't have to. And I actually put my foot in my mouth a bit because when I was
you didn't
3 years
tea,
old,
did you?
No, when I was like 3 years old, my dad took me and my brother to watch WCW in Blackburn, which is insane to think that Blackburn Ice Rink held a wrestling event of that size. And it had some big names at various points of the career. So Sting was there, Steve Austin was there. The British Bulldog was the main event. Pretty sure Ric Flair was on it as well. So it's big names. And I was bumped into William Regal. I said to him, you know, you were the first wrestling show that I went to. And you're in this one in Blackburn in 93. And he said, oh, yeah, that was the one where I would have been working Dustin Rhodes, wouldn't it? And I was like, yeah, probably. It was 23 years ago. But yeah, he was lovely. And then a few years later, we was there, and it was one of the years where I was really muddy. And Gunter was there. Now, if anyone knows Gunter from the TV, he's a big, scary bloke.
Yeah.
But that year, he was wearing little tiny Wellington boots. And I can't help but say that some of the mystique vanished that day. It was also the time where I realized wrestlers sometimes aren't as big as you think they are when you see them on TV.
Although I think you told me William Regal before, and he was bigger than you expected.
Yeah, William Regal, massive, like from compared to what I was expecting.
He's a lot more hench than you'd expect, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was before he lost all the weight, so he's like a big, intimidating bloke. But like, wasn't as tall as you'd think. He was only a couple of inches taller than me.
Yes, well, they always over-egg the weight, the heights and stuff, don't they? So to make them sound bigger. Sound bigger, be bigger, who's to say? We're going to talk a little bit about wrestling. We're going to, I think we're just going to go around and do our favourite wrestler and then probably a favourite match. You know, we won't drag it out for too long for those who are not into this. But if you want to be into this, we're probably going to mention some matches you could just go ahead and find. And you might find something delightful to see. And you know what? I'm going to go first. I'm going to pick two favourite wrestlers just to be a pain in the bum. When I was a kid, my favourite wrestler was always Jake the Snake Roberts. I had Jake the Snake Roberts picture up on my wall. He was always my absolute favourite. The DDT was one of my, one of my favourites. But my favourite of all time is definitely Shawn Michaels. The moment he kicked Marty Jannetty through that barbershop window,
yes.
He's been one of my favourites ever since then. You know, all through his early Sexy Boy run, right up until, you know, he was retired with The Undertaker. He's just been such an amazing person to watch over the years. And, considering when you look back, he didn't hold all that many titles, really. He hasn't had as many reigns as some of the others. But he knew how to put people over. He could take people who were terrible to great matches. I mean, Ric Flair really owes him one. He should have done if he'd actually managed to stay retired. But yeah, he's my best.
You also, forgot to mention that he basically lost half of his career to an injury, and
just
I say half
back.
His career. He lost several years. He had a Hall of Fame career. Missed, well, had a career life threatening, well, you know, life changing injury, and but yeah, was out of the game for 4, 5, 6 years, and then came back, and then had another Hall of Fame worthy career.
Yeah, it was better the second time around. He was even better, which was insane. Like I say, from the moment he kicked Jannetty through that window, I've been a Shawn Michaels fan. I think that's the first time I can ever remember, like, really seeing like a proper heel turn. Because up until then, it always seemed very, you know, these were the bad guys, these were the good guys, and they didn't really change. But yeah, good stuff. Anyway, who's next?
Well, I he's one of mine, actually, Shawn Michaels. I would sort of go with him just in terms of consistency, like you said. That second part of his career was just amazing. I mean, the other one for me is Mick Foley. He was somebody I didn't sort of get into until obviously his run in the sort of Attitude era, but it just, the things that man went through just for the sake of entertainment is just incredible. I mean, are we going into favourite matches now as well?
We'll do the favourite wrestlers and then we'll swing around to favourite matches, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, Mick Foley, you know, he spent most of his time as a heel in his early career, and just naturally, he's one of those people who just naturally transitioned into a face because just of how good he was at what he did, and people just naturally liked him.
From
that point on.
He was great. He really was great. And the faces of Foley were good too. You know,
yeah.
It took me too long to realize that Dude Love was the same guy.
I mean, it's a massive shame because I think he did sort of retire and come back and retire and come back and went to TNA and all this different stuff and really sort of soiled his legacy a little bit with certain things, but on the whole, just he comes across as a great guy and just, yeah, great.
And whisper it quietly, but he is getting back in shape to have one more match.
Oh, is he?
That's what bad investments do to you.
No, I think he's... I can't remember the exact reason, but I think it was something that he wants to do something for his birthday rather than anything that's, you know, the quote-unquote bad reasons you hear for wrestlers doing this.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not always that depressing when they come. I mean, look at Steve Austin a couple of years ago. He knocked it out of the park, didn't he? You know, at WrestleMania, coming back, fighting Kevin Owens. That could have been, you know, a big pile of dog shit, but it was probably the most entertaining thing on that card.
Matthew, got any favourites we haven't mentioned?
No, we've done Shawn Michaels to death. So,
well, yeah. That's, so, favourite matches then? Well, I think my favourite match of all time involves none of my favourites, but my favourite match of all time is Rock Hogan. Rock Hogan was... A friend of mine once pointed out to me that the Rock and Hulk Hogan can do more with the raise of an eyebrow than, you know, to a crowd, than some people can do doing huge, massive moves. And that match is made by the crowd. You know, they made it better than it was. And it was like watching old school Hogan again. It was fantastic to see just the whole thing. It was like a properly true spectacle of a match. And as I say, if you've got those if you got those nostalgia bones in you, it just really, really tickles it. And eventually when Hogan actually hooks up, it's like, you know, takes you back, you know, it takes you back to being a kid. It makes you scream at the TV. You know, there's very few things can make me scream at the TV, but the wrestling's one of them. when Edge
the Gladiators reboot's been doing it for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I jumped up when there were a few close eliminators, and then got shouted at by the other half for it.
You've got to get into it, haven't you? I know when Edge returned that Royal Rumble, however long ago it was, I was screaming at the TV. I couldn't believe that Edge was back.
Many years ago, I got into the routine of going out into Lincoln and watching in one of the sports bars. And the year I used to go with a friend of mine, and we were both sort of children of the Attitude Era. So it was WrestleMania 32 or 33 when the Hardys came back.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't even imagine what noises we made, but we were hugging each other and screaming at the top of our voices. It was insane.
It's fun, isn't it, that you can...
Yeah. Okay, well, it's wrestling, isn't it? It elicits those emotions from people who are passionate about it, which is great.
So who's next for favourite matches? Luke Peter, you went first, second last time, so go on.
This is so hard. I mean, one of my favourites I always go back to is Mankind winning the title on Raw, January the 4th, 1999, I believe. Is always one of my favourite moments, but it's
not—it's
not really a great match. I mean, the Hell in a Cell, Mankind, Undertaker is all spectacle, but I mean, in terms of pure wrestling, and anybody who I would say doesn't watch wrestling, and I would say watch this match because this tells you everything that you need to know, shows you everything that you need to know, is Shawn Michaels, Undertaker. The first WrestleMania match,
yeah,
is absolutely stunning. I mean, the second one's pretty close, but that first one is just amazing, and it just tells you everything you need to know about wrestling.
Yeah,
because it's near enough pitch perfect. The emotion's there, the physicality's there, and it's just incredible. It's a sight to behold, that match.
Yeah, they knocked it out of the park two years in a row, where it was amazing.
And if you want emotion, then it's Flair, Shawn Michaels, year before.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm being very indulgent now. I'm having four.
Well, I've got loads, but I don't want to bore our friends. Matthew. Best match ever.
I need to stop going last because you guys keep saying what I was going to say.
All right.
I remember WrestleMania 25 vividly because I was always a Shawn Michaels guy. My brother has always been an Undertaker guy. And them two at WrestleMania putting on, for my money, the best match ever.
Probably.
Like, there's stuff the memories you cling on to then. But if I'm not picking that, it's already been said. I will say the match that I remember as I was really getting into wrestling, but the one that got me like properly hooked as a sort of 9-10 year old was Triple H versus Cactus Jack at the Royal Rumble.
Oh yes.
That was little Matthew gained some proper bloodlust there, because that was. I mean, that whole card was amazing. It was a Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys table match on it as well, which was incredible.
And Takumi Shinoku getting absolutely laid out in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but I think I remember getting that and then like the two after, I think No Way Out, where they had a Hell in a Cell match, which was also brilliant. And the WrestleMania. So I sort of got them three around the same time. And it was like, that was it. I was in there for, well, good and proper for a few years.
Yeah.
Then you you kind of drift away, don't you, and come back and stuff with wrestling.
Yeah, that match with Cactus Jack and Triple H, though, had such good build-up. It's one of the best build-ups. You know, the bit on SmackDown where Burley comes out as Mankind and says he doesn't, you know, essentially didn't want to fight him anymore. And he was like, but I know a guy who does. And he, you know, he strips off into the Cactus Jack and everyone was like, whooping and hollering, and it was just so, it was like, oh yeah, this is good stuff. And people forget that. People forget how good the build-up is. I think it was, I can't remember what year Rock Hogan was. It might have been, not Rock Hogan, Rock Austin, maybe 15?
15,
17,
and 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 7. I think it, where the build-up to it is almost, was almost as good as the actual match.
Limp Bizkit My Way promo.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
That's the second one into 17, yeah.
That was amazing.
17 is the best WrestleMania, easily.
Well, I don't think we should talk too much more about wrestling because maybe people don't like it. Maybe they do. Maybe they want to know more about us. Let us know in one of the places that you can talk to us, whether you want to hear us whiffle on about other stuff than horror movies. You probably don't. That's probably why you're here.
I like to think that there's someone listening to this that's in the car, you know, and that they've got the horror movie podcast on and they're enjoying it and then don't want to listen to the wrestling but are stuck because they're driving. And I'm sorry to that person, whoever you may be.
Well, to that person,
road safety is more important.
To that person, I say this. You know, you go watch See No Evil with Kane because that's all right. That's wrestlers and horror. So, you know, we've rescued you there. Now you know. Now you know something. Was it called See No Evil?
Yeah.
And See No Evil too.
I'm sure they were quite good. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, irrelevant, isn't it, at this point in time. Maybe at some point we'll do See No Evil and we'll decide whether they were good movies or not. But until then, let's get the hell out of there. Oh, actually, no, Peter, let's talk about the Movie Duel podcast because, you know, you've been here all month and each time we plugged you. So, you know, good Movie Duel podcast, go listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Go and listen to some of the Quick Draw episodes. We've got one with Matthew, one with Mark, in which they pick some of the pick choice on the list. Have choices for some of the subjects that we've picked in the past, and they're a whole lot of fun. So go and listen to them.
Yeah, I think to a degree you forgot what your own podcast was. There's something going on over there.
That's what this film has done to me.
There's people chatting about something or other. Who's to say? Who would win, wrestlers or zombies? Let's just finish on that.
Probably zombies.
I don't think
if it's Shawn Michaels switching musics all around.
Oh, yeah. Everybody did that in the hallway. That was amazing. Right, let's go. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you later.
Yeah. Suck it.